and to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who believe in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for the people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Lord, we come to your presence wanting to hear your voice and to be transformed by the power of your word. May we all be able to listen, to receive, and also to be equipped so that we can do good works for your glory. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We are trying during these days to understand what are our roots and where are we grounding ourselves. And you see, there are many other places where we will ground ourselves. We will find something, but is what we're finding the best place for us? Is that place where we can grow? And one of the things we are learning is about the blessings of our denomination as United Methodists. We ground ourselves in certain things that are very powerful. For example, the very first Sunday we were preaching about this, we talked about the religion of the heart. One of the things that John Wesley did is he was able to put some words together that usually you will never dream that they can be together. How come religion and heart? They sound like two different, but what we understand with Wesley is that religion, that mind, that connects with our emotions, and through that, we are transformed to do great things. We know that we are connecting all of that in the foundation that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and through that, we are transformed and we are empowered to do great things. Also, we learn about grace. We learn about that prevenient grace who moves even before we are aware, but it's the way God is trying to conquer our hearts. Then the justifying grace, and that's when we understand, you know, God, I don't want the story of that grace to be something far away. I want that to be my own story. And then we learn about sanctifying grace, and that's very powerful for all of us. We understand as Methodists that our growth on faith is not just something that you receive Jesus and everything ends there. We understand that we can grow, we can mature, we can become better Christians, we can thrive in life. And the other thing that we learned with Wesley last week, that also is those two words that you never can think they can be together, and that is holiness and unleash. Usually when we think about having a holy life, we think we need to have a very strict kind of life. But the reality is the opposite. It is when we are living in holiness that we are prepared to thrive in life so we can be unleashed. This week, I was sitting in the office one day, and here comes Liz Taylor. Where are you, Liz? Yes, I had a picture, but I never was able to put it in there. But Liz, actually, is a blessing for all of us. Whoever has heard her story, you remember when the West Nile virus was in this area, and Liz was probably the second person who got that virus. The first person died, and we saw Liz coming to a point of a coma, but then the Lord just brought her again to life. And here we have her, right, Liz? Liz is our official. She spoils us every Wednesday because she brings cookies and treats to the office. And her life is powerful for me in so many ways, Liz. I still remember the day you stood up when you were in a wheelchair and you stood up here. And I will never forget that as remembering the power of God. But Liz told me something very important this Thursday. She was saying, you know, I read all the Bible. And I have learned that now that I have read the Bible, I'm prepared. So when situations are coming to my life that are difficult to understand, I'm already prepared. So what Liz described there was holiness. She was describing that she's being prepared. She cannot know what's coming, but she knows how to get prepared for that. That's part of what we are expecting in our life of holiness. And for sure, I'm sure that, and as Liz was sharing, her life is thriving very different precisely because of that preparation. There are other aspects of this that are important for us too to remember as Methodists and also in as Christians. As you can see, this is the other football kind of people, not the real one, by the way, you know. But one of the things I have been looking at with all these different players and what we hear about them, one thing I have learned is this. Some of them can be wonderful in fitness, really strong, and they are great. But is that all what they need? You have seen some of these wonderful players totally wasting their life because of bad decisions that they took in life. And instead of having this wonderful career and history, it ends in a really bad place. Because what we need to remember is for them to be good players is more than just the fitness. It's also character. It's about how do they behave. It's about also, are they responsible? Are they taking their life with responsibility? And because of that character, also that makes an impact in their fitness. For us as United Methodists, this is also something that we follow as Christians, and any of all of us as Christians. What we say is character and fitness equals to faith and good works. Character and fitness is like faith and good works. You see, we're going to watch this game in a few hours, regardless if you like the teams there or not. I am sorry, Chiefs, especially my husband just was so sad, and I'm so sorry. Any other Chief here? What are you, Amy? You know, see, I'm sorry, guys. But in the midst of everything, you can say they did a good job, I believe it. But we can see that the ones who are playing in this season, even the last games, they need to have been really good athletes. And the only way they can get there is by that character, but also that they were capable to thrive on that. Now, think also too, your good players are the ones that you're going to put in use constantly. I cannot see a coach, and David can tell me that because I know he's a coach. You won't put in your bench your best player in a moment that you need the best game, right? You're going to put them out there immediately because they can change that game. It's the same with us as Christians. We need to have that character. We need to be equipped, but not to be sitting on a bench. We are called to have that character to serve, to be out there. We are not able to say, I have a Christian life, and just expect that your life is just going to be about your Christian life by yourself. It's about bringing others to Christ through your example. I love what this church does. We have the English as a second language on Wednesday, and we can see how this kind of ministry transforms the lives of other people who are capable to come to a different place in life just because of learning English as a second language. It was yesterday, one of the most amazing things I have ever seen in this church, here in this place, with all these people trying to come and support our youth to go to Liberia. Do you understand how crazy that is? Here we are in San Antonio wanting to do something in a church and in a ministry in Liberia. Why is that happening? It's because precisely that matching of character and works, faith and good works. And as you can see, in any game, I'm assuming there is a strategy. There needs to be a strategy of how to be able to do a good play. It is the same thing with all of us as Christians. There is a strategy for that. I love this that is actually in the Rio Texas Conference website. I have never seen it before like this, but it's excellent description of what is our strategy on life. The first thing is our way of salvation. Who is our way? The scripture says, I am the way. Who's that one? Jesus. Jesus is our way of salvation. So it's when we understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is our salvation, but it's through his grace that our lives are transformed, then there is a consequence of that, and that is mission. It is when we say, I cannot keep this for myself. I need to share it with others. It's impossible. If you have been touched by the Lord, if your life has been transformed by him, then you have that desire of sharing with others. I was sharing before with you when Abel and I got engaged. I still remember that day because he didn't speak a lot of Spanish at that point. So he memorized it, what he was going to tell me in Spanish. And he even checked it with one of my friends. And I remember my friend telling me later, it was a little bit awkward listening to your husband-to-be telling me all these love things. And for me just to say that's right or that's wrong. So, but it was great. She's a great friend. I love her. But I remember when Abel asked me that, and I remember that I went to the store next day, and I wanted to hug everybody, and I wanted to tell everybody, I am engaged to the best gringo ever, even with all his instruments, that's okay. You know, I just was so happy, I couldn't contain that. You know, it was exciting. So it's the same thing when we have that relationship with Christ. When you and I understand where we are, how God has changed us, nothing should stop us. Just think for one moment, what will happen if you didn't have that opportunity of knowing the Lord Jesus? Where will your life be right now? What kind of decisions will you be taking? How many of us will be alive? You see, it will be so difficult. But when you get it and you say, God, it is amazing to see what you have done in my life, then nothing stops you. But then it comes this other part, formation. It is in that process of receiving that salvation of Christ, that grace of Christ, that sanctification, acting and working on that, that your life changes. How many of you have been involved in any kind of mission or ministry? Raise your hand, no matter what it is. How many of you have felt, I felt I gained more than what I gave? Raise your hand. Isn't it like that? Why? It's because it's that part of formation. We grow through all of that too. So this is our strategy. We go through way of salvation, mission, and formation. So this also is translated to this other aspect. When we are all on that process, we also need to remember in what context are we serving that process. Sometimes we're coming to a context that is not that clear or is not healthy. For example, when, this is the hard word for me to pronounce, Titus. Did I get it? Because in Spanish it's Tito, so I keep thinking in Spanish. Titus. Okay, when Titus wrote this letter, he was confronting a society that was incredibly in a mess. They were called Crete. They were from this island, and they were called liars. They were so bad behaved. And then not just that, they brought Christianity to them. And instead of embracing Christianity, what they did is something called syncretism. You know what does that word mean? Okay? What does that mean, guys? Because I have been with you 7 years, you need to know that word. Syncretism is when you do a milkshake of religions. Next time you drink a milkshake, you say syncretism, right? That's a homework. So syncretism, so what they did is they mixed the Christianity plus the God's zeals. And they were mixing those things, and they were believing that. So that's wrong, right? And then you had all of these false prophets coming and trying to teach them the Christianity, and it was confusing everybody. So Titus, what he was trying to do is to say, let me explain you where are you holding your character, and let me explain you how important is that you express to others who you are as a Christian so that the other people can understand Christianity in the right way. So that was a priority for them. Now, in the time of Wesley, he was confronting a different situation. This is a picture of one of you guys. You see, nah, just kidding. No, we don't have pews in here. We don't have pews. So, but you see, Wesley was confronting a powerful structure of religion, but they were in a moment of like, whatever. I don't care. We don't care about the community. So what Wesley was doing, he was saying, you know, guys, no. You need to understand that fire that you have in your heart needs to be manifested so other people have the opportunity to come to the gospel. Now, if we ask this question today, what are we confronting today? And I think if we think about it, perhaps this is our struggle today. We're becoming a culture of me. The priority in life is me. What I need to be about, worry is about me. Everybody needs to agree with me. And if you don't agree with me, then you're an enemy. And if you're an enemy, I'm going to let Facebook know that and just create more crisis, right? You better think politically, spiritually like me. If not, you're wrong. I'm not even going to listen to you because me is important. Now, think about which were the two commandments that Jesus gave us. The first one, love who? Me? Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And the second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, but love your neighbor. You realize how different it is? So this is why we're struggling in our present culture. How do we make an impact? And that's what we need to see ourselves. If you are using faith and works, we're agents of transformation in our own culture. So what does it mean? It means that we do not avoid our culture. It's not about that. Now we are Christians. Let's everybody hide over here in the drum set and not connect with anyone because we're going to get contaminated. Do not know. That's not. Actually, the opposite. We need to be out there doing great things so other people can come and learn about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now think about, this is the formula that we follow in our lives. But also think about how we come to this place. The scripture we read today in Titus says, but when the kindness and love of our God, our Savior appear, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. You see, many times when we read this text, we concentrate a lot in that kindness and love. But we need to also think, how are we receiving that kindness and love? That's what makes it different. Because it is through who? Through God, our Savior. I want you to think in this. When we see and we think about that situation of the culture of me, it's easy to point fingers and say, that's just being selfish, that's just wrong. But let's think about it. When you have been hurt by family members, by yourself, you have been hurt by society, you have been hurt by people at work, you have been hurt by other family members, what's going to be your reaction? I'm going to protect myself. I am not going to let anyone hurt me again. I am not going to let anyone come and try to mess with my mind or my heart because I am not going to be hurt. Isn't that a normal reaction? It's a protection. Makes sense. Makes sense that sometimes we get into that me because we're feeling hurt. Anytime there is a change in culture and there is a change in our environment, we're going to do that as a self-preservation action. But you see, what here God is telling us is he's telling us that it's his kindness and love. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ that he's bringing us to a new place. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, let me invade your me. You're trying to protect yourself, but let me just go to your me and remind you that whatever has come to try to hurt who you are, whatever thing that came to hurt your story, it is done in the cross. Whatever you have been carrying as sins, whatever things that you have been struggling in life, it is done in the cross. Whatever definition you have had about yourself that is not real, it is done in the cross. And you have the opportunity of a new life through me. But we need to let him invade our midst, invade where you're trying to protect yourself. But you see, that doesn't stop there. Because through that, he empowered us to a new place. And he says, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. In other words, he comes and invades your me. And you're broken. But then he restores you and empowers you to go and make a difference. I love what this author says. Christ's gift of salvation gives us a new start and the power to live as healthy, social human beings. In other words, what we do makes an impact in society. And that's the second part of this mix. It says, the saying is trustworthy. And I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to what? Good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. You and I are created for good works. What does that mean? In some cases, it's going to mean you're going to take a specific action. Go to Liberia. Go to ESL. In other ways, your good work is, are you the person in your job that is bringing hope? Can we answer this question? Our actions, do they help or hinder our God-given mission? The way I behave with my spouse, the way I behave with my children, the way that I behave at work, the way I behave with that person who's trying to be nasty, is it helping or is it hindering? But you see, all of this is possible when we first allow the Lord Jesus Christ invade that me. So today I invite you to remember to this sacrament of communion that God wants to invade your me, empower you, heal you, and restore you. When you accept that, allow him to push you to do good works that they will even surpass you. Amen.